This is RSB and the Update, episode 194, recorded Thursday, March 5th, 2009. Let's hold hands and dance. Hello, Brad. How are you today?
I am fine, Shane. How are you?
Very good. We're gathered here once again to do this splendid show called RSBNB Update, which you can find at update.rsbnb.com.
If they don't know that by now.
Well, you know, they might be coming from iTunes and stuff, so that's something we'd like to know. So if you're one of the people who hides on your iPod using a subscription on iTunes, come visit us on the forums and post something so we know you're a real person. We like it when you do that. Anyways, yes.
Shane likes it when you come and make kiss-ass topics and say how great he is.
No, I tend to ignore those, actually.
Oh, and try and find him on RuneScape. The best tactics I could offer you would be to hang around the farming patches on World 132. And if you see him, harass him constantly for his MSN and try to get him to add you as a friend, because he loves that. He really loves that.
Yeah, in case anyone's wondering, for a little bit of information, I start my farming runs in Catherby on World 132.
At what time?
Various times throughout the day.
I have just this mental picture in my head of people gathering at Catherby waiting for you and then following you while you do your farming run. That's so sad.
That'd be kind of hard because you need money to go where I go, and I use teleports that not everyone has, like the Ectofial.
Oh, the Ectofial's not hard to get.
Okay, what about Trollheim then?
That's not hard either. You need 60, is it 62 magic?
Yeah, but you need to do a quest for it.
Oh, wow, a quest. We all know a quest in RuneScape are retardedly easy.
Oh. Anyways, we got RuneScape updates this week, so I suggest we head down that path and get going.
Yay.
This is a feature in their year of fixes that's come out that everybody's wanted for a long time. Deposit all from your bank. Did you get a chance to take a look at this?
I have had a look at it, but I cannot believe, first of all, that they are packaging this as a full week's update. It's
well,
a minor change
well.
At best.
There's more.
Yeah,
to
but
it.
It's not like it's actual, you know. I made a funny sound. It's not like it's actual great big content. It's not like a quest or a new sort of dungeon or anything like that. It's not. It should have been packaged on the side of something else.
Yeah, but you know, people get antsy when there's a week without an update. So, anyways, this is as it would sound. You can either deposit what you're wearing, or you can deposit what's in your backpack, or you can deposit what's in your beast of burden.
So I thought that the deposit what you're wearing option is a good idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Rather than having to click everything into your bag.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's rather weird how they can take off everything you're wearing without you having to do anything, you know?
It's RuneScape, Shane.
Oh, that doesn't make sense.
Oh, no, nor does Soul Wars. Why are the two things fighting? It's just a game, okay?
Oh, dear. Anyways, one thing I was going to say is, did you notice the three little buttons at the bottom? There's the one of the person, right? There's the one of the backpack, and then there's the one of the spirit wolf thing, right?
Yeah, beast of burden.
Yeah, those two confuse me, because the backpack one used to be the beast of burden. So once when I was doing my farming run, I accidentally clicked the backpack button thinking it would be my beast of burden, and that was rather annoying.
Well, you'll have to adapt to the new system.
I know. So that's one thing that Jagex does. They make good changes and all like this, but they don't realize the UI implications of it. Because people have been trained to click on the backpack as beast of burden, you know? So
trained, yes. People just do what they used to. They don't really use their eyes or use their brain.
Yeah, like, isn't that obvious? Like, I know I do that when it comes to UI
I understand
elements.
What you mean. I mean, if you're used to a thing being in a certain place, you're going to... But, you know, like I said, I think Jagex should make steps towards having a customizable interface. Then you could move it where you wanted it.
Yeah, that would be interesting. It wouldn't be all that hard to do in Java, seeing as I've worked with. I'm assuming they're using some form of a customly modified Swing. See, Swing is the graphical framework. Then by Java inheritance, you can make your own type of element.
Oh,
you know?
I want to die.
And then that basically becomes your own custom framework.
Sending me to sleep, Shane.
Oh, and one thing, when you're done in your bank, the convert to note item, if you were using notes before, will become the unnoted, or it will become untoggled next time you open the bank.
That's handy. That did actually used to annoy me.
Yeah, that used to result in me withdrawing things like weapons and stuff that were noted. That wasn't really that fun. So, what do you rate this one out of 5, sir?
I'll give them a 3 because it's a good concept, but the fact they've tried to package it as a full week update is poor.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 4.
I would have given them a 4 had they tacked it onto the side of something else.
Though they did. That's what we're getting to next.
No, something else is tacked onto the side of this. This is not tacked onto the side of a bigger update.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we will have some in a bit. PvP tweaks. The death interface now, you know that interface that shows what you're risking when you're dying? That now shows what you're risking and how much more you need to risk in order to be able to get loot, which is the 75,000 P2P and 25,000 free-to-play limits. Well, that's
good. I guess that's useful.
And they patched up a tiny bug in the system, whereas now you can't, people before would drop their items to take them out of that range so they wouldn't give the person some loot. That's been fixed, so if you drop items before you get killed, it won't really have any effect on your standing. So, that's
right.
Good. See, this is in turn with PvP, and then here's something else that was actually put out last Friday in regards to PvP. Did you see this? Temporary closure of Bounty Hunter?
No, I didn't see that.
Basically, they're saying that they're temporarily closing Bounty Hunter to fix the following issues. The level matching system wasn't working at all, with players often ending up in unfair battles they were unlikely to win. They found with the launch of PvP Worlds, Bounty Hunter simply has become less populated, which meant the Bounty Hunter mechanic stopped working. They say they still love the idea of bounty hunting, but they think it needs to be done better, especially what they've now learned from PvP Worlds. And, of course, real-world trading was occurring at quieter times of the day. But then they all preface it off, don't worry, Bounty Hunter isn't disappearing forever. We're just disabling it while we fix the problems. Bounty Hunter will be back with a nice little winking smiley face. Oh, and the high score tables won't be reset, so if you have a good rating, don't worry about losing it. So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think, really have no opinion.
I think the primary reason they disabled it was that real-world trading did have a chance to get through, which we all know how important it is to protect RuneScape against that. I'm being serious there. I'm not being sarcastic.
Indeed.
Okay. So, you want to move on then to the tweaks and fixes of the week?
Let us move on.
Red chinchampas have been breeding in the jungle and can now be found in slightly larger numbers, so grab your hunting gear. You know, isn't this kind of funny, seeing as this month's skill of the month is hunting?
Yes, I'm sure it's a proof that Jagex have infiltrated the RSBNB community and are taking part in skill of the month. In fact, Shane, I think you're a Jagex spy.
Oh, I wish.
This is all very elaborate. You're the person who started this site. You and Mike work for Jagex. You're probably Andrew.
No, I don't have an English accent.
This probably is like... You have nothing to do with RuneScape, but Andrew is telling you what to say. Ooh, this is like an espionage movie. Ooh.
Yeah, you know, you could also turn this into a Star Trek kind of thing, too.
No, I don't want to do that.
So, but in regards to this, I asked Kelsey about this thing, and she's our front runner for Skill of the Month. She said that it's absolutely not true, and it's pretty much the same as it was before.
You know, bearing in mind I make dumb bets on, you know, Skill of the Month, I should probably say, if Kelsey wins Skill of the Month, I'm going to get 99 in everything. That's the sort of dumb stuff I do. I'm not saying that, though. I didn't just say it. That was an example.
The humidifier spell from the Lunar Spellbook can no longer be cast while in the Soul Wars minigame. The sounds associated with bird's nests you sometimes hear when chopping down trees are now more audible, so you can tell more easily when a nest has fallen to the floor. You know, that's good, because when I was doing woodcutting, I sometimes missed my nests. So, but because it was very quiet and you had to keep watching the chat and everything. And finally,
they were fairly easy to spot, though, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, because they were this big black thing on the ground.
Yeah.
The Ectofunctus Grinder can now be set to manual or auto when grinding bones and can be toggled on or off at your leisure. Anyways, yeah, so there you go. There's your tweaks and fixes for the week. Yeah. You know, I wonder if they put out patch notes this week. I never should check that. Let me see if they did, because that would be something good if they did. Let's see. Recent updates forum. Patch notes, 030309. Oh, so they do. Oh, they put these out every week. That's good. Yeah, I'll put a link to this in the notes as well, the full patch notes. Let's see if there's any interesting graphical stuff this week. No. Not really. Nothing really interesting this week for graphical fixes. Remember last week one of the textures in Varrock was upside down?
Yes, vaguely.
Yeah, so I don't know. They still haven't fixed the Ceridoman encampment water problem. You remember I showed you that, how the on high detail the top part is like the low detail water, but below it's the high detail?
Mm-hmm.
So that still hasn't fixed. I hope they fix that. Maybe I'll report it as a bug again. Okay, so that's that. We got some more questions this week from Paul, Mark, and Roderick.
With equally enticing answers. For example, you should put maps for caves and such on the world map. Paul, I agree. Dumbasses!
You know, yeah, I don't know. That'd be something that would be nice to have, but...
Okay,
they
let
really
me just,
don't
you know,
hit. That.
If you are listening, Jagex, listen up. I'm an 18-year-old man, I say man using the term as loosely as possible, with no customer service experience whatsoever in my life, with no real work experience whatsoever in my life, but I know that if you are answering questions from customers, answer a little more than just I agree is necessary.
Why? What if all he does is agree and there's nothing else he wants to say?
No, or he should say, I agree with that and we will be looking to implement something of that nature in the future. He may agree with that. He may agree with that, but know that it's completely unfeasible or might not be possible or not high on Jagex's priority list to implement in the game. We should have an idea of if they ever would plan to implement something like that and what sort of timescale we're looking at, whether it will be pushed to the back because they're working on other things or whether it will be something they'll be looking at recently. Two-word answers are not acceptable.
I don't know. I don't think it's that necessary to do, because how often is a dungeon something that you're...
How would you like it if you asked a question about if they're if you sent in a question that said, oh, you know, I think farming should be given more updates because a lot of the skills developers, but farming haven't, and Paul just said, I agree.
I'd be happy with that because I know.
No, it's rubbish. It's poor customer service. And if Jagex are going to try and do this whole, we're going to reach out to the community and we're all going to hold hands and dance together in circles and be all hippie like, they should at least do it well. Which they haven't done so far.
Well, what would you suggest they do then?
Well, I should suggest that they are more selective of the questions, because a lot of the questions just seem to be sort of the same ebb, and that some questions they give perfectly good answers, good long answers to, and other ones they're just, I agree, yes,
we
I agree,
should try and
yes.
get a J-Mod on the show.
I would yell at them.
Well,
for an hour. I would yell at them for an hour. That's why we'd never get a J-Mod.
Well, they'd let that one come on if I had Mike come on and do it that week.
Yeah, if they, as long as that very aggressive English boy isn't on. But it's just, I mean, it's just Jagex is a big
company. Isn't there some aggressive blonde-haired English boy on Harry Potter?
Yeah, Draco Malfoy.
Yeah, that's you.
Shut up. My main point, though, is Jagex is a big company, and if their new CEO is going to do this whole, we're going to be, you know, reach out to the community, they should, it should be more planned than just answering questions with two words.
But
it's not.
But
it's
I
not
don't good. Know. I think a Q&A is something that is good to do. Yes. Because
yes,
if
it is good to do.
Wait. I'm not done.
Go on then. Finish. Hurry up.
People submit questions to the quarterly dig town halls, and people are extremely happy about that because the CEO and architect guy end up actually answering the questions, and they answer them just like these guys do, so I don't see what the issue is.
No, the question is, if you're asking, I don't see how you can imagine that a two-word answer is good, because Paul saying he agrees with what he said doesn't mean anything in the context of possible implementation into the game as the question asks.
Okay, well, I got one for you then. This next one, most of the skills end at levels lower than 99, and there isn't really any point to raise them higher. Then here's an answer that you were encouraging Paul to give. We plan to fill the gaps for higher level skills over time.
Exactly, see? Not half the time, but sometimes they answer questions like that in a good way, and other times it's just, yeah, I agree.
Then Mark on that one said...
What does an answer do like that? It does
Paul's
nothing.
Right. We all dream of a day where every time I go up a level, I get something new and exciting I can do rather than just doing something better.
It's slightly backpedaling a little. When questions are, will there be new skills by the end of 2010 and are you working on one at the moment? Yes. A short answer for that sort of question is fine.
Because they can't give them out.
That's obvious. Don't state the obvious. But that sort of question just affirms what the person is asking. That is the sort of question where a yes or no answer would be acceptable.
Okay.
But the other one isn't.
I don't know. That question was good enough for me, because that means eventually we're going to have to
Because you have your head up Jagex's ass.
No. I'm saying that's good for me because of the site, and that means we're going to have to make some adjustments later on. Which
my blood pressure just went right up.
Which gives me pain every time I do that, because I think there's a few lists in the goal sigs I have to update. I don't know why it doesn't
anyway,
because of the order. Yeah. But
yeah,
anyways.
Yeah.
That's three of them. Another one I wanted to draw attention to was, how long will Wilderness Tag be put on hold? Paul says, I would consider the Beacon Lighting game, in which you can play once you've completed the All Fired Up quest, to be an evolution of Wilderness Tag. All the original Wilderness Tag was really going to be was running around the wilderness lighting beacons.
So they've already implemented it in its own form.
So that's good. Next one I wanted to go to, is there any chance of a RuneScape train and railway system? Roderick says, dwarves being the experts in technical things do have something similar to trains. Steam-powered minecarts. Then Mark says, in fact, they did build the train with the goblins. See? That's the kind of thing I like, when people don't think about their question and these guys throw it in that sort of way, you know? Because if you did that one quest, the dwarves and goblins did team up and build something that looked like a train. So.
What if the guy hasn't done that quest? Does that make his question invalid? No, it doesn't.
No, but...
Exactly.
It's not that hard to do that quest. I think that should be one that everybody does. Because it also gives you the ancient mace. Which is nice to have for going to Bando's God Wars and stuff. Anyways, one more I want to highlight. Will there be a second God Wars? So, this question was sort of taken in two ways from Mark. He says that they have strong ideas for another high-level dungeon, but it's not likely to be another God Wars type of dungeon. But then he transitions into saying if there's another war with the actual gods, he's saying that's very likely, especially with the return of Z being talked about so much, and with Guthix still fast asleep. They do take matters into their own hands. See, that's what... Remember when While Guthix Sleeps came out? I said that this is like the prelude to a god war? So, I don't know. That's good. That's nice to know that it's happening. And, of course, there's one more thing about the one that's obvious that we're all wondering about, the elven city of Prifdinas. They say that with that, they really can't do a quest on that quickly because all the other quests that they've done that have been small have received bad reception, like that last construction one. So they're saying it's going to have to be the same size as Wellgothic Sleeps. So they won't do another elf quest until they have the resources to do it, but they want to do one. So, I don't know. Another thing that came up in questions above was the fact of opening new storylines versus finishing ones. They said this year in most of their quests they're going to be providing more insight into storylines rather than starting new ones, so that's good.
They shouldn't be starting any new storylines until they've wrapped out the old ones.
Yeah. Like a ratio, I'd say, like, say 20% could be new, so 1 in 5 be new, the rest be tying them off.
Yeah, that'll finish them all off fairly quickly. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's that. The Evil Tree wallpaper. You want a new wallpaper for March, Brad?
No, I'm good, thanks.
It's like this tree with glowing eyes and then things fighting it in the background. I don't know, it looks good except for the RuneScape watermark. What do you think?
The evil tree looks comical. It looks like arms look like twigs. You could literally snap them off.
Yeah.
And its teeth don't look sharp at all. I mean, I'm a weak physical specimen, but I could kill that without an axe.
I don't know. What do you do about the stump?
I don't know. Just kick it in the nuts and run off.
I don't think trees work like that.
Really? Well, there goes my fighting scheme out of the window.
Isn't that how you fight anyone?
I've never fought anybody in my life.
Oh, I thought you did. Oh, well.
You think a lot of things. Most are wrong.
Player submitted polls number 16. I'll take the first question. In your opinion, which of the following skills would be most difficult to get to 99? 22% say runecrafting, 20% say prayer, 19% say farming, 2% say hunter.
You know, Slayer is more difficult than farming.
Yes, I do have to agree with that.
And prayer and runecrafting. Farming would be fourth. I'd say runecrafting, Slayer, prayer, farming, summoning hunter for me.
Okay. For me, I would say runecrafting, Slayer, prayer, summoning, hunter, or farming, then hunter. So, there we go.
I placed farming higher than Shane did.
As being
harder. Is there something wrong with me?
Well, no, farming's really easy. You just need to know what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, says the man who has 99.
Next question.
Fishing is really easy to get to 99. You just need to know what you're doing. Anyway, if you could have one of these items or achievements for just one day, which would you choose? Free unlimited runes, arrows, bolts, every cape of achievement, 10 million GP, a god sword, every quest completed, I don't know, an elf crystal bow. That was in descending order.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Every cape of achievement.
Why?
So I could do all the emotes for people in banks.
I said 10 million GP because I could spend the 10 million GP on items and keep the items.
You don't know. The items might be removed.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, I think so.
But why would people say an elf crystal bow?
I don't know. Those are really easy to get.
116 votes that has. But then why do people want free ammunition for some reason?
Well, unlimited.
Yeah.
You could cast unlimited spells. You could cast a lot of spells for free. That's a lot of magic experience.
But only for a day.
Imagine a free day of chinchompers.
All right, I guess that counts. Yeah, you could get 99 in that. Yeah, I can see why that's number one. Next one is a multi-option vote. Which of the following in-game transportation methods do you use most often? 13,000 votes, regular spellbook, teleporting.
Yep.
10,000 votes, running. 8,700, walking. 7,666, enchanted jewelry. 6,500, teletabs. 6,300 spirit trees, and then portals, and then it just goes down from there. I actually set charter ships on this because I use those for my farming run. I also use the canoes.
I remember when canoes came out.
Yeah, they're fun.
That was a long time ago.
But they need more canoes.
Yeah, they do. They are a bit of a niche transport.
Yeah, which one do you like?
The one that goes into the wilderness.
No. Which method of transport?
Oh, right. I thought we were talking about canoes. Teleport using regular spellbook, obviously. I also like the portals in the house.
Oh, yeah, those are good. You know, they need to fill up the rest of the portals with those, because it doesn't make sense that you can only go to 6 locations, you know? Or 7, I think. But next one.
Next question. Which of the following player-owned house rooms do you think is the most useful? And in descending order, portal chamber, 25%, 4,000 votes. Chapel, 3,000 votes. Workshop, 9%, 1,500 votes. I don't know, 8%, 1,300 votes. Costume room is shortly behind with 1,200 votes. Combat room, 1,100 votes. Dungeon room, 1,000 votes.
That's good enough.
I would agree, portal chamber there.
Okay, I said the throne room.
Why?
Because that's the room where you can trap people and interrogate them.
Okay.
My second choice would have been chapel, then portal.
Slightly insane.
Why? I like doing interrogations in my POH. I've interrogated people there before.
Like who?
And they'd broken, you know?
Who?
They admitted to doing what I thought they did, and then I let them go.
Shane's living in a fantasy land, everybody.
I did, seriously. Shane's... I got the guy to break, and then, yeah.
Oh, yeah, through a game. Shane, stop living in a fantasy land.
Yeah, so, anyways, there you go. And last question, do you think your username has had an impact on your RuneScape experience? 51% say yes, 38% say no, and of course 11% don't know. So what do you think, Brad Woodward?
Yes, every day, every time I log on to that damn game, I lament the fact I used my real name.
And people call you what? Brad Woodward? Woody?
Brad Wood. That Brad Wood really annoys me.
You know, that sounds sort of like a tree, you know? Bradwood?
Oh, God.
Or some forest, you know? Bradwood? A forest full of Brad?
Oh, God. Burn it down. Burn that forest down.
So, yeah... I think mine did have some sort of impact. I don't know. Probably because it's so general. And then there's people all along that say, "Hey, my name's Shane too."
You copied Mike.
I know. I couldn't think of anything better.
You should have called yourself Shane 88021.
Why? Oh, reverse it!
I can't believe it took you that long to work it out. Oh,
I'm
that's
gonna
classic.
Edit that out.
What?
I'm gonna edit that out.
Oh, come on! Shane's gonna edit out the fact it took him about 2 seconds to work out 88021 was 12088.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
Yes, it does.
I don't know. So, okay, me and Bradwood are now gonna go on to RuneScape questions. The first is an audio question from Shredder.
These aren't RuneScape questions; they're general questions.
Okay, so I have two questions for you guys. One, do you think if Jagex kept the wilderness in, they'd have as many players as they did in 06? And two, do people who kiss your ass on the forums get on your nerves? That's it. Yours truly, Shredder.
It's difficult for us to say something like that.
It would be the same.
I don't think it would be exactly the same. I think they probably lost... They lost probably a few,
but
maybe
not enough
thousand.
To make an impact.
No, not enough to make an impact, because even though the majority of the people weren't happy with it, they still had to pay Jagex for their RuneScape crack.
And as we've seen in the past, this sort of thing, change happens, and of course, the more things change, the more they stay the same. So we're good.
Oh my
we're
God!
Good.
I want to kill myself.
We're good. So. I think I really don't think it's made that much of an impact along the way. So
yeah, but like I correctly said a few weeks ago, it put them back about 8 months, and that is not
in development time, though. So that's
That is not a good thing.
That's opportunity cost for you.
That is not a good thing.
But anyways, when people suck up to you on the forums,
people never suck up to me and never have. People only suck up to Mike and Shane. That is a well-known fact.
No,
it's funny. It's funny because not so much now, but like a year ago, I think it was. People used to like be like quite. There was certain people who used to really dislike the staff, the moderators and the admins. They used to like really dislike the staff and think we were assholes and power hungry and everything. But they used to love Mike and Shane, which didn't make sense because Mike and Shane handpicked the staff. So if you're calling the staff assholes, then you're saying Mike and Shane have bad judgment, which means Mike and Shane are assholes. See, it doesn't make sense. But no, I've never had my ass kissed, so it doesn't annoy me. And it probably would if people did.
It does. It is annoying. Because people that do that don't realize that we have good memories. And if you are doing that, that's only going to decrease your chance of getting what you want in the end, whether it be a position on some events crew or in former newspaper staff or content crew or something like that, or even the mods later down. It's not going to work.
I only got modded because before I even posted on the forums, I said in feedback to Mike and Shane kissing their ass. That's true.
No, you didn't.
Do you remember that?
No,
yeah,
I don't.
You remember that?
No,
the
I
old
don't.
You don't remember that. It's in the feedback because, like, when I've been here, like,
what number
two
is
years.
It?
I don't know, but it's a long. It was before I started posting, I think, and I actually sent this feedback in saying what a great site I thought it was. I started ass kissing before I even posted on the forums.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, Mike might remember. Ask him if he remembers next time. Although you've probably both forgotten because you've both got terrible memories.
Yeah, so. Anyways.
Anyway. Yeah, next audio.
That one is from Shredder. This next one's from Sax's Axe.
Dear Shane, Brad, and any other guests, how do you think the RuneScape community would respond if Jagex made the game keyboard-based? I don't just mean ASWND, but also adding keyboard macros. How do you feel about it? Do you think it would make the game better or worse?
I think it would make the game substantially better. If you could bind, you know, if you could bind attack to a key and you could bind change sort of the attack style to keys and stuff, of course it would make the game better. It's a lot easier than clicking.
Yep. But the thing is, of course, the game is designed from the ground up to be used with the mouse, so it would take a significant change to the game engine, I'm guessing, to do that. But it would be good to do, you know, now that we have a fixed window and full screen, you know, to move around. So I'm sure if they were designing RuneScape from the ground up, they would do that, but they really can't now due to the engine constraints. So what can you do?
Yeah, but it would be good.
Yeah. Thank you. Anything else on that one?
No, nothing.
Okay. Next one's from Kelsey.
Dear Brad, does your kitchen have a knife set? And if so, where is it located? Also, I would like to know your address.
So?
I'd just like to point out that my further point about there being no girls on the internet that I said last week still stands. That is obviously a boy who asked his sister to read out the question. Now, on to the question at hand. Do I have a knife block? Yeah, of course I have a knife block in my kitchen. Where is it located? It is... well, you come into my kitchen. If you standing in the kitchen door... It's not a very big kitchen, actually. Straight ahead of you will be the sink. Directly to your left and down a bit will be the fridge. And then the sort of the counter runs against the wall from the sink to the fridge. It's pretty much by the microwave where in the corner. And there's on a wall on a magnetic strip. I actually ordered them from largest to smallest because I have some sort of OCD. Well, no, I don't. I just think they look neater when they're largest to smallest. And there's quite a big knife, so yeah.
Really?
You could probably kill me with no trouble. Oh, and where do I live? Well, I'm not going to say my exact address, but I've made no attempts to hide the fact that I live in a village in between Cheltenham and Gloucester called Churchdown. There's probably about, I don't know how many houses, I think there's about 1,000 people live here. So, you know, if you really wanted to find me and kill me, if you knocked on every door, Okay, I'll tell you something else. I live quite close to a school. There are three schools in Churchtown. And I live... Well, actually, if I was to look out my bedroom window now, I can see the school. So, three schools. You know, you can find out what those schools are. Go and search all the homes that have a visible... That have a visible...
Are you looking onto the field or the actual school?
The field, but I can see the school. Oh, God, that just gave more away. But, yeah, if you wanted to find me, you could very easily. So, let's go through that. Churchtown... And I live in plain view of a school, but there are three schools in Churchtown.
Are they elementary or junior high or high school?
Well, two are what you would call high schools, and one is a junior school, which is what you go to before you go to high school.
Which one are you by?
I'm not telling you that. Stop trying to whittle information out of me.
So you're by the one that only has one, so you're by the high school, because there's only one of those then. And you said
There's two high schools and one junior school.
So you're by the junior one because you're not telling which one.
No, of course I'm not by the junior. I'm not telling you which one I'm by. But if you wanted to... But on the information I'd given you, if you were psychotic enough, you could find it.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, actually.
Yeah, if you went on Google Maps. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, remember what you sent me once?
I sent you in a picture. Oh, God. Oh, this was a mistake. I hate you, Kelsey. Damn you!
On a slightly different note, you could probably get a small 1 kiloton nuclear bomb and take out the entire area.
Yeah, because those are really easy to get on the Middle Eastern arms trade. But I do stand by my previous point, there are no girls. That is simply a boy who asked his sister to read out the question. Sorry, Irish email.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Shane. It sounds like you enjoyed that.
Moving on. Next one, please.
Shane enjoyed that. Thank you for the question, Kelsey. Sir Kelsey. Dear RSPNB hosts, dear Shane, how long... That question threw me out. Dear RSPNB hosts, Shane, how long did it take to get 99 farming? Fire making. 99 fire making. Shut up. How long did it take you?
On and off, I'd probably say about 6 months. On and off, if I was... Like, it wasn't all 6 months together. It was on and off, starting from about level 75. I took a break from... I got to 80 first. I took a break. Then I went to 92. I took a long break. Then I continued on in December from that, and then I got 99 on January 1st. So... Yeah, which you can find the video on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB staff. And if you're wondering as to why we got no videos coming up on there, it's because we're trying to figure out what exactly to do with the fact that we can't, that any video we get has copyrighted music, and then when that goes up, it just gets muted. So we're just trying to figure out a better solution for that. That's what we're trying to figure out.
And was my 99 fishing video muted?
I don't know. You can check.
Well, that had copyrighted music on.
Yeah, so I don't know, it's just so annoying how that works. But I'd probably say about 6 months. That's from Chris513. Was it muted?
And a second. It's loading. No, it wasn't. Score!
Oh, now it's going to be muted. Just watch by the time the show goes out. Dear Shane and Brad, other than fishing and farming, what are your favorite skills? Mind Slayer, and what new distraction and diversion minigame would you like to see? That's from Overlord 621. So secondary favorite skills,
I'd probably say herbalism, even though I only have 70.
Okay.
And I have no idea for a new minigame. I'm sorry, my creativity is non-existent.
Okay. My second favorite skill is Herblore. As you know, I got 99 in it. But...
Sorry, I meant to say Herblore. Herbalism is in World of Warcraft.
Well, it was called Herblore back in RuneScape Classic. Jeez.
Mm.
I also like construction, but I don't train it because, in fact, it's a money sink, so that'll probably be my next money sink 99, or smithing. One of those two will be my money sink 99.
Get smithing. 99 construction is pointless.
Yeah, Warren went from 92 to 99 in a matter of hours, like 20 hours. So
yeah, it's really quick to get.
You could do the same with smithing too, actually. But a new distraction and diversion minigame? I don't know. Maybe some sort of farming one, you know, where you're going along and at a random farming patch during a day, there's some mega weed you have to dig up or something, you know? And if you dig this up, it'll give you a certain reward you can choose from, either XP or herbs or whatever allotment it was in, you know? So, that might be interesting. You know? I don't know if it's something that... It's sort of competing with that giant plant thing that you throw in already for Slayer and stuff, you know? So, I don't know. I'd like to see something farming-based.
Sure, that was a really unexpected answer, Shane.
But I also have another one.
Go on, then.
It's basically an assassination one. You're given some person you have to go kill, and then you kill them each day.
Wow, that's...
It's not a monster, it's an actual person.
And Jagex would never introduce something
like
that sinister.
Like an NPC person.
Jagex would never introduce something that sinister.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, yes. Thank you, Overlord. Next one.
Next question. Dear Shane and or Brad, have you been keeping up with the latest season of 24? If so, what episode are you currently at in your area in the Midwestern US? We're at 7 to 8. Film with the President and Baron in the safe room. No, I'm not keeping up with it, but Shane is because he likes that.
Yeah, we're in the same zone as you are because we're not some offlandish foreign country that gets the shows 2 years later, unlike some other countries in like Africa and whatnot. But because we actually get the actual Fox channel here, so we're at the same time. So yes, I've been keeping up with it, and I've seen every episode of 24 up until then. It's a good one. See, these terrorists seized the White House, they took control over it, and then they got the president into a safe room, but then they found her daughter, so she made Jack open the door and she gave herself up so they wouldn't hurt her daughter.
How boring.
Oh, it was fun, because they came into the White House through this sewer line.
Oh my god.
A weak wall. So, but yeah, it's a good show. Watch 24, it's on Monday nights on Fox. Next part. That one's for you.
And for Brad, if an average educated American were to move to Britain, what would be some of the first differences he/she/it would notice?
It.
Depends what part. If you move to the country... Well, again, it depends what part of the US you came from. I think the main differences are obviously... Traffic is on the other side of the road. I'm struggling to think of anything.
Oh, you guys
think...
do that there, that way? I thought that was only Australia that did that.
No, I think we're on the same side as Australia. I honestly don't... Yeah, I think we're on a different...
Up.
What side of the road do you drive on?
Right.
We drive on the left, yes. Anyway, back to what's different about the UK. There are a lot more threatening people out in public, so you may not want to go out alone. And of course, you can't arm yourself in this country. You can't take a gun. So, you know, if you were to draw a gun and shoot yourself, you know, shoot yourself? Why'd you do that? To shoot, you know. Honestly, there are a lot of dodgy looking people. I've noticed Britain more than anywhere else. If you walk through a town centre, there are a bloody lot of dodgy looking people. What else? Things cost a lot more. Cost of living is a lot higher in the UK. I wouldn't recommend moving here unless you have some really good reasons, like, you know, you're going to move to a really high-paid job here, or the country's all right. The countryside, you have some very beautiful countryside. Green fields and nice trees and stuff like that. But I don't know what the major... I honestly have not spent a great deal of time in the United States, so I really can't say what the major differences are. I'm sorry,
yeah,
that's rather...
I haven't spent much time in England either, so I can't comment. But
it's better than Canada, I know that, though.
No. Well... No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
I think Canada is easier to access, and therefore better.
Canada's America's hat. Actually, we have a question in a little bit that will address how good a nation Canada is, and if we should blame it or not.
I didn't put that one in.
Oh my god, how dare you?
Because we've talked about that before.
Yeah, everybody knows Canada sucks. Shane, you're insecure about your own nation's rubbishness. It's not even
moving on. Dear hosts, where in the world would you like to live in the future? Why? And Do you want to go to many other countries and explore? That is from Owen. So where would you like
first.
To live in the future?
I would like the idea of living in America. I think it'd be interesting, just because it's... To me, certain areas of America, I just like the idea it's so big. Because Britain's obviously, you know, well, at least from the perspective of one person, is fairly big. But I'd love to go to a country where you could just drive out into the middle of nowhere.
Well, that appeals to me. It's actually Canada more so than the
No,
than
but
the
I'd
US.
Rather go to... I'm not because, moving to Canada, because Canada elected a paedophile.
Because when you drive in the U.S., there's always little towns along the way. But actually, in Canada, there's huge expanses with nothing. So
yeah, but Canada elected a paedophile. I'm not moving there.
No, he's not a paedophile.
I always like...
He's got two kids.
Yeah, he's still a paedophile, and he's gay. I like the idea of living like somewhere around Washington. I like the look of Washington, you know, Capitol Hill and Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial. And I like Washington. I'd like to live in Washington.
Okay.
Everything happening and, yeah, Washington. Okay. District of Columbia.
I don't think I'd want to move anywhere permanently, you know, but
I would like to travel the world. I'd like to go everywhere.
Yes, me too.
Except Canada.
I'd like to see Ottawa first, Washington, D.C., London, Berlin.
Berlin is a lovely city.
Maybe Amsterdam as well. Maybe somewhere in Italy, I don't know.
Amsterdam.
Australia.
You do know what Amsterdam has a reputation for, don't you, Shane?
What?
Prostitutes and weed.
Well, we can ask Southrend about that.
It's true. It's common knowledge.
Send him a PM.
No, he's highly religious. He'll probably declare a jihad on me.
Okay, be nice. I don't think he'd do that. He's not the kind of person who will bring his religious beliefs into a...
No, fair play to him. He is a very quiet man.
Yeah, he wouldn't do something like that. And he's
yes,
smart,
move on
too,
Shane.
You know?
Enough ass kissing. People don't kiss your ass. You kiss other people's asses.
Thank you, Owen. Now, dear anyone reading, do you think a global new deal will be made? That's from Marking 22.
What is this question in reference to?
I think he's referring to the so-called New Deal that was made in the 30s with FDR. And I think he's wondering if this will be made again on the world level. What do you think?
If the economic crisis gets as bad as the Depression was then?
Yeah, sure. Like,
it's possible.
I was reading something that the only way to get countries to truly unite will be a total economic collapse, major outbreak of some disease, or a third world war. So,
well, when Gordon Brown gave his speech to the US Congress, the British Prime Minister, funnily enough, Stephen Harper has never been invited to address Congress. Just thought I'd throw that in there, because Canada isn't important. Anyway, when Gordon Brown gave a speech to the United States Congress, something which Canada has never done, he made a lot of references in his speech in between the American ass kissing, which made me want to puke, you know, saying a lot of things like, you know, global solutions need global problems and that we should all join together to tackle the economic crisis.
That's what we need.
Yeah, but part of me thinks, does he really believe that, or is he just trying to... Is he looking over his shoulder thinking, everybody in the UK hates me, I'm going to try and do something that will get me re-elected? Because Gordon Brown, we didn't vote for him, we were just handed him. And pretty much the way things are going for him at the moment, there's a good chance he'll be kicked out of the next election. So I think part of me, cynical side of me, is saying he doesn't want to help the world, he wants to help his career and stay Prime Minister.
But, you know, when you think of some sort of... like, wouldn't a world government of sorts with, like, that's not the UN, but actually had some real powers, wouldn't that be something that was useful, like world government?
No.
Every country was a part of, and you had to be a first world nation in good standing?
No, because from the criteria you've just laid down there, it sounds like it would be too much like either NATO or the UN. Good, good.
But they would actually have power to do stuff and act.
Yeah, but a country could never, an organization like that would never have power to do something if it's, you know, because one country would say, well, I think we should do this. Another country would go, no, I don't think we should do this, which is basically what the UN is and NATO. A lot of people are disagreeing over what should be done. How would it happen? How are you saying it would happen in your...
It would have to be ratified by having some sort of agreement between the countries that, based on a vote, this would happen. But they wouldn't be. It would have to be something worldwide. It wouldn't be able to affect a country in its, like, in its own native borders. It would Are you getting what I'm saying? It wouldn't be.
Yeah, I am, but I don't think it would work.
It would have to be global-wide, not just
countries,
something for a certain
country. Countries should remain essentially self-governing with their own, with most of their own lawmaking and judicial powers staying in that country, which is why I am anti-European Union.
Oh, I think the European Union's a good idea.
Oh, I think it's a terrible idea in Brussels.
England should just join right up, you know?
We are in the European Union. We just don't have the euro.
You guys could become the United States of Europe.
We already are the United States of Europe.
But it's not called that officially.
No. We call ourselves Great
because
Britain.
Because when you think about it, many of the smaller countries there are the size of U.S. states, you know?
Yes. So. Yeah, yeah, you've got a big country, we get it.
Second biggest next to Russia.
Nobody cares, Shane. Russia still beats you. Russia could walk all over you.
No.
And sit on you like a whale.
Okay. Thank you, Mark King. Next one, Brad.
Like an Australian whale.
Okay.
Hey, Shane and Brad, this is my first question on here, and as such, I would like to make it as hard and controversial as possible. That's not difficult with me and Shane. What are some of the major decisions you would make and or changes, i.e. what would you do if you suddenly went to power as a president of the United States, and would this change if you were the president leader of your own country? Well, if I was president of the United States, I don't know what I'd do. I guess I can't say about the United States because I'm not as on key with the issues as I am here in the UK, but probably I would withdraw all troops from Iraq and Afghanistan immediately, all of them, not just like remove some and leave the rest as a handing over force or whatever Obama calls it. And I would try and engage in more over-the-table negotiations with countries like Iran and basically
North
all the countries
Korea.
America hates. Yes, which could be potentially difficult because, let's face it, they're assholes. America does hate them for a reason. But, you know, diplomacy is always the better way. I would stop bailing out failed banks since, you know they've...
You can't reset the system and move on to the next cycle if you're constantly bailing them out.
Exactly, you know, and most of these banks are sort of face down in their own liquidity. There is no hope of actually saving them by just pumping more money in. You're pumping more money in, it's disappearing. I would also set, I would have regulations as to how much bankers can be paid, since it's the bonus culture and the greed of bankers that got us into this, one of the reasons that's got us into this problem in the first place. So if there were more regulations on how much they could be paid, they wouldn't be as money hungry and they wouldn't take as many risks. And that's about all I can think of.
I agree with you for the most part. As you said, better regulate the banking system, as the U.S. banking regulations aren't that good. I think Canada's banking system is second in the world next to Switzerland. So we could take some lessons there. As you said, one thing I would not change is there's still the insurgency problem in Afghanistan, so I would transfer everything from Iraq over to Afghanistan. That place needs to be fixed up because that's where the war on terror initially started, and it needs to be finished. So, yeah. And with that said, pretty much the same thing. I would also reverse the decision to close Guantanamo Bay.
Why would you reverse that?
Well, where are these people supposed to go that are convicted terrorists?
Oh, Shane, once again, you missed the point entirely. The majority of the people held at Guantanamo Bay were never charged. They were held without charge.
But it for each person you hold, you could take the step of preventing further terrorist attacks.
No, here's the thing. If you have enough evidence to pin either conspiring to terrorism or that they have conspired to terrorism, charge them with something. Don't hold them without charge.
I think we should move on because we could debate this forever.
And just one more point. Yeah, you'll never see that you're wrong. Do you support torture?
Yes.
For what reason?
Because over time, how are you going to get the information out of someone rather than having to wait and wait and hope they just decide that it's in their best interest to talk.
Information gained through torture is not reliable. If you were put under intense pain and asked to admit to something, or if you were put under intense pain because people wanted to know something, you would tell them what they wanted to hear if you thought it was going to make it stop.
No, so you can it's completely, tell when someone's
it's
lying.
It's completely unreliable.
You can tell when someone's lying under duress.
No, Shane. No, you can't. All they're going to take is a confession. If you were, you know, bundled off to a prison and you had your nuts hooked up to a car battery and you were put under intense pain and they kept asking you to admit to something or to confess to a crime, wouldn't you do it just to stop the pain?
That would never happen because I would never end up in a prison.
But you don't know. You don't know for sure. How do you know there's not going to be a miscarriage of justice?
Need to do is wait for these files that from this time period to become unclassified, and we'll see the information that was gained from torture, and we'll see it was...
Torture is not a reliable source for gaining
we'll
information.
We'll see it was reliable.
No, it was... it's not by just mere principle, so let's move on to that question, because I am right and Shane is wrong. Next part of this question. I probably edits all this out and I never know. Anyway.
Actually, just in case you're wondering, I have nothing on my sheet to edit out yet this week.
Oh, thank God. Right, next part of this question, also for Brad. I've wanted to live in England because it's cool. No, it's really not, believe me. I learned to use an accent like that, but someone told me that the taxes over there are much higher than America. Is this true? I'm not sure, again, on the taxation rates, because I don't know what the taxation rates are like in the U.S.
They have low taxes in the U.S.
Taxes are fairly high, so yes. Like I said in the earlier question about the UK, the cost of living is also a lot higher. I know it's certainly a lot higher compared to most of Europe. Again, not sure how it compares to the US. So, and as I said in the previous question, unless you had a really good reason to move here, like a good job or because you fell in love with an English person, which you never would, then I really would advise against moving here because it's not the best of countries.
I did a good English accent earlier, but I can't get any out of doing it now.
It sounds just as retarded as somebody else who used to do English impressions and think they were
like,
good at it.
I don't know. I have a feeling now if I do it, I'll somehow break into an Australian or Scottish, so I'm not going to.
It's like when I try and do Indian accents, I end up going to Welsh. It's weird. Anyway, also, would you guys move to a different country?
Oh, we already talked about this.
Yeah, we already talked about that. That's fine. Okay, so thanks. Keep up the great show. The question is from FireballXZ, a.k.a. Justin on the forums. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Last question.
Last question is addressed to me. Hi, Brad. I want to thank you all for making that side bet with Shane based on my winning the Farming Skill of the Month. They encouraged me to keep going against a very good competition from Chief Snake. Makes me think I should have kept my mouth shut. Anyway, since RSPNB members already know you are a man of your word, I'm confident you'll soon be actively working towards your cooking skill cape. Misery loves company, so I'm offering to work on getting 9-10 cooking also. When can we start? Great show, guys. Adiv. Well, I know I originally said on the forums that I would refuse to get 9-10 cooking until Shane gets 9-10 agility, but I've also been thinking it's probably best to just get it over with. I probably plan to start sometime next week, probably early next week, because I have some free time next week. And
Good.
I'll be just plowing every single gold piece in my bank into buying sharks so I can do it as quickly as possible. But I'll probably be done fairly quickly. But yes, I will keep my word. You won Skill of the Month against a lot of XP, tough competition. So I will fulfill my end of the bet, which I was stupid enough to make in the first place. And I predict I'll probably have it, I don't know, maybe, I won't have it next, I'll probably be maybe 2 weeks, because
it's pretty quick.
But I won't have, I'll probably
maybe
be able to...
Maybe we could do a live show before or after your cooking.
Okay, but that's the end of question.
Hey, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, I'm a genius.
No, I'm a genius, you support torture.
No. Live show... before.
Shane writes like a 5-year-old.
I don't.
At a 5-year-old speed. 5-year-old on speed.
Okie dokie, on to tech news. Obama has picked a net neutrality backer as the chief of the FCC.
Obama is a dumbass.
Why?
For picking that? Why would you pick a... Well, the FCC is a bunch of retards anyway, so it doesn't really matter. It's not like if they had an open-minded person, it wouldn't make much difference.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're not going to make big changes like this overnight, is because, you know, it's kind of hard to change big things like net neutrality and all that other fun stuff like that. But anyways, it says he will bring... Obama said he brings to the job a diverse and unparalleled experience in communications and technology with 2 decades of accomplishment in the private sector and public service. His name is... Where is his name? I wrote it down. Julius Genaus. How would you say that last name?
Genachowski.
Julius Genachowski is likely to continue the Democratic push for net neutrality regulations, which are opposed by some conservatives and telecommunications providers. He was a top Obama technology advisor and aided in crafting a technology platform that supported net neutrality rules. I don't know, I think it's necessary because every packet at some point or another will go through the U.S., and if it gets throttled there, it will, like, it can go through pretty much any router in the U.S., and if it gets throttled there, then basically we're subject to U.S. law, which isn't nice, but yeah, so that's a good one. So we should all be a little happy about that and hope something will actually happen. I don't know, anything on that besides a traditional net neutrality stance, Brad?
Net neutrality is good. Anybody who opposes it is bad. That is all.
Okay. There's 3 videos here of Microsoft Surface, and as for more developments that's done on it, the first one basically shows what it's capable of. The second one shows 2D figures, and the third one shows 3D figures. Did you watch some of these videos?
Yeah, quite interesting.
Yeah, the part 3 is the one you really should skip to if you're only going to watch one, because it basically shows it like a virtual pool table. So, if this, just imagining what this kind of technology could be applied to, it's rather amazing. So, this is the sort of the thing that the next piece of tech news also goes into, which I'm going to talk about then, but it's sort of like Microsoft's looking towards the future, and it's something that will happen eventually, but it's not something that you and I can get our hands on right now. So, I don't know. Definitely take a look at these videos, and after watching the video in our last piece of tech news, which is up next, you'll understand sort of what Microsoft is going at. But do you know what Microsoft's trying to do?
No.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Like, this one on here shows there's these little balls on the Surface table that you use with your finger, and you can, like, flick them against one another, and it'll act as if a normal, like, you know how a normal ball acts, you know? So, definitely interesting. So take a look at this. Then this next one is a little commercial called the Microsoft 2019 Vision, and shows what they envision the future to be like in 10 years. Now, some people say, no, not in our lifetime and stuff, but I don't know. What do you say? Based on what you've seen from this video?
Say about what?
About the video in regards to the 2019 vision.
I have no real opinion on Microsoft or anything like that.
Oh, so you didn't watch it then?
I watched it, and I, yeah, interesting, good,
but
anything
do you think
else,
it's going to be possible by 2019 is what I'm asking.
I think if you look at where we were 10 years ago and you look at where we are now, then sure, why not?
Yeah, and you also got to take into account that the rate of technological progress is increasing exponentially. So
yep.
For anybody who says that this isn't possible, I think should be taking a look at Moore's Law, which can be applied to general technology in the case. But this video is sort of the same feeling you get if you actually go visit the Microsoft Visitor Center in Redmond, and you'll see this is the same sort of feeling they're portraying at that place. So it's definitely something I think that will be coming on in the next 10 years, but the question is when it will become affordable for consumers. Like, it'll be available, but when it'll become affordable, who knows? But definitely something to watch, because I don't know, it's just something that's sort of different about Microsoft. Like, you don't see Apple doing this kind of stuff, whereas Microsoft is attempting to show what the future can be, whereas Apple is just using it right now, like with the iPod Touch multi-touch interface. But I don't know. I'm probably going off on a tangent that people don't want to hear. But anyways, just take a look at the videos for yourself, and then if you have a question about it, you can post it in next week's topic. That is all. Unless
other things!
Else. Yes, other things. RSBNB Informer. My monthly roundup post is up with the skill of the month winner being announced, and it should be noted that we've decided to remove Sig of the Month as basically our current
Sig of
the Week
system. Wow,
I
didn't get my own way, so I'm going to cry about it.
Our current Sig of the Week system is basically like a Sig of the Month every week. So, anyways, despite what other people say. But, so check out Informer at informer.rsbnb.com. Oh, yes, and we also take the survey. update.rsbnb.com/survey. We'll be running this through until the end of March. Skill of the Month update. We should take a look at that, shouldn't we?
It's one-sided.
Hunter. No, not really. She's got catching up to her. She's got MLI catching up to her.
He has MLI.
Chelsea has 2 million XP gained. MLI has 1.1. And Marking 22 has 654k gained.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people who entered have not got any experience whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. So.
People make me sick.
Yeah, get XP if you entered. Just remember, skill of the year, we add up whoever gets the most XP in all the year, and that person wins. So, yeah.
Yay, experience.
So, I don't know, Hunter's. It seems like Hunter's always picked for Skill of the Month, you know?
But it's random.
Yeah, I know, it is random. So that's a little weird, but anyways, what have you been up to?
I went to the gym earlier this evening.
Oh yeah, how'd that go?
Nearly
died.
Is
that where you were? When you were almost late?
I wasn't almost late. I signed on to MSN 45 minutes before we actually officially due to start recording. And she's like, oh, I thought you were going to be late. I wasn't late. Anyway, what else have I been doing? Not much, really. Nothing notable.
So you didn't die at the gym?
No.
That's good.
People at the gym annoy me because there are lots of really fit people with, you know, big muscles, and I'm little and weedy. If it was an intellectual gym, you know, where our brain power dictated the size of our muscles, I'd be a bodybuilder and the rest of them would be weedy little. That's how I like to think about it. That keeps me going. You may be stronger than me. I can improve my strength. You'll always be a dumbass.
But your brain is also a muscle, so.
Well, you know, but it isn't like you do push-ups with your brain, is it?
So
that would probably do severe damage to your neck. Anyway.
What'd you do at the gym?
I have this workout, which this personal trainer told me to do, where I basically do military... I'm not sure what they're called. Something you basically, you know, with the big weights, you have to... Above your head, shoulder, head, and I have to do that. I also have to do chin-ups with a wide grip. I have to hold on to these two bars and chin-up, which really hurts. Because my legs are... Because my arms are only little and weedy. And basically, just lots of resistance stuff with dumbbells and... And also, I have to do a lot of cardio, obviously. Like I do 30 minutes of cardio and 30 minutes of resistance work.
Okay.
By the end of it, I'm, like, sweating. That's really nasty image for you.
So did you, like, clean up before you came to do the show then?
Yeah, of course. I had a shower. I'm not disgusting. I just drive like this. Though. It's horrible driving when you're really sweaty. It's like... I'm afraid my hands may slip on the wheel from the 10 and 2 o'clock position. Anyway.
Okay. What have I been doing? I've been studying for some exam that's coming up on Monday.
He's been staying up past his bedtime. He's been a very naughty boy.
No, that's only on the one day, 2 days a week that I don't have to go. I've also... we got that site design up last week, so that was fun. I am outlining the next project I'm working on RSBNB. And I've been putting together a nice little computer that'll run macOS better than my current one or an iMac would, seeing as the iMacs and stuff were updated this week, and there's really nothing in the price point that I want that caters to what I need. So yeah, that's what I've been up to. So maybe Brad wants an iMac.
No.
Okay. I don't know. Are we done, or is there anything else that we didn't mention or need to mention or want to talk about or anything? Anything you want to say?
Torture's wrong. That is all. End of show. Family? Why do I want to talk about my family?
I don't know. What'd you say, though?
I said torture is wrong. That is it. End of show. Bye. Bye. End of show. Okay. I'm right.
No. RSBNB update 194 is done. I don't know where to put
it. Is it wrong when you say is it wrong when you say RSBNB update 194 is done that I hear the outro music in my head?
No,
I hear
that's
it in my
wrong.
Head.
No, that's not wrong. That's good you're imagining it though, because that's what'll happen in the final show.
And I hear that slight intermittent thing where something funny I may have said might be played. I pick out my head. What's yeah? Anyway, so
I'm not sure where to link you on the show notes.
What do you mean?
Oh, well, I'll link to your RuneWire since you're starting cooking.
Oh yeah, I'll probably be updating that.
Anyways, so RSP update
194. RuneWire. Can I just say this before we go? RuneWire is not a dating service.
Okay.
That is all.
But there is no rule against what you can post.
Yeah, but we don't... Oh, I like you. Oh, you're really good-looking.
We don't have limits as to what can be posted, so it's really up to them as long as it's not rule-breaking. But anyways, yes, RSBNB update 194 is done. We will see you guys next week for Brad. RuneWire.com/Brad.
Bye.
And I'm Shane. Just posting something on RuneWire.com/Shane. Goodbye, everyone.